Good morning, everyone. I'm really delighted to see you all here. And the ones in the back of the room, if you are remaining standing at the end of my talk, I'm going to ask you questions. So I urge you to come to the front of the room. There are seats up here. Otherwise, this is what I do to my classes, too. I pick on the students who are at the back, not the ones at the front. Okay. I see a lot of friends and colleagues in the audience, and I must say I'm really pleased to be here representing a group of people whose names have been mentioned previously in the session and who have actually been a key part of the work that I'm going to describe, which answers the question in some ways that some of you are probably thinking, how can I get involved in global public health informatics, these collaborations? How can I, as an individual, or someone in a country who's working in health, in public health areas, inside or outside the US, how can I really participate? And I'm going to try to answer that question. The colleagues who are a part of this presentation, Dr. Wuhib, who we've already heard from, Rajan Maddock, who is at Manchester University, physician and who worked on a meeting that I'm going to mention a little later. Sally Stansfield, executive director of the Health Metrics Network. Bedirin Ustan, who is head of WHOFIC, the World Health Organization Federation of International Classifications of Disease, a group of people that I learned a lot about, people in organizations and coordinating centers. That I learned about in a meeting that we co-sponsored, our Global Partners Organization co-sponsored in India last fall, and which has a lot to contribute to our work and vice versa. Ian Buchan, who is in the audience, who is director of a public health informatics center at Manchester University in England. I'll mention a little more about that. Patty Garcia, who is a very inspiring person, who was at Cayetano Heredia University in Lima, Peru, who I've had the good fortune to work with for the last 10 years. And I'll say a little more about Patty and her organization. Mark Oberle, who co-directs the Center for Public Health Informatics at UW with myself. And Anne-Marie Kimball, who has worked globally on infectious disease surveillance programs for many, many years in and out of the United States, and who actually dragged me, and I use the drag word, you know, pulled me into global public health informatics quite a few years ago. So without further ado, I'm going to talk about some of the key events in this organization, this virtual organization called the Global Partners in Public Health Informatics. Selected findings from some meetings that we have held or co-held with other organizations, because we did take to heart the words that Dr. Frieden and Dr. Ross charged us with this morning. We did not set off to create an organization, nor did we set off to know we knew the answers to the problem. We set off to find out what the problem was in the area of global public health and enabling technologies, information and communications technologies, and how might they make a difference. And I'm going to talk about some of the findings from a variety of meetings that we have held. And then I'm going to talk about the next step, the step that the global partners have identified as a missing link and a way of enabling a lot of the collaboration, coordination, and development work to go on in very practical and concrete ways. And then I'm going to talk about next steps. Key events, and for some of you who have been at these key events, this is really old news, but the person who really got this ball rolling was Dr. Ian Buchan at Manchester University, his colleagues in Manchester in England. A meeting was held there in December 2006 called BioHealth, and it was at that meeting a group of us met after the meeting to discuss what might we do in global public health informatics. The result were two meetings, 2007 and 2008, public health informatics meetings held in Seattle. And as a result of those meetings, the organization, the Global Partners in Public Health Informatics, was begun. We have a website, and our vision, which has been driving this work, is as you see on the screen, to create a diverse partnership. Not-for-profit, for-profit, academic, practitioners, individuals in countries throughout the world, in low-resource settings, and if anyone in this audience has seen a public health organization that is a high-resource setting, I'd like to talk to you after this session. They're all low-resource settings. We know that about public health. So it really is for everyone that we were looking at this, but in particular, giving a voice to those people in low-resource countries who are doing remarkable work, and as Dr. Frieden described this morning, developing systems that we would say are impossible to create in our more highly resourced settings that many of us currently live in. They can teach us a thing or two about how to do things efficiently and economically. Fast forward to July 2008, just a year ago, the Rockefeller Foundation funded our center and the Health Metrics Network. David Lubinsky and I became the planners and host of a public health informatics week focused on low-resource settings, developing countries, and developing solutions. The meeting was held at a wonderful setting in Bellagio, Italy. It was part of a month-long series. I'll say a little more about that in a minute. And the meeting I referenced earlier that Dr. Ustan and Dr. Maddock co-led and that the Global Partners co-sponsored with the World Health Organization was in New Delhi. And the interest and the contributions from India and the other countries in Southeast Asia formed a lot of what I'm going to describe as the way forward. And then now, as Dr. Wuhib mentioned, FIN 2009, we're happy to be helping co-sponsor the international activities. So these selected findings are going to be of no surprise to anyone in the room. There's great potential for public health informatics innovations to improve health in low-resource settings, but there's a gap between the potential and the actualization to enhance the following. These slides were absolutely done before the keynote talks this morning, but they echo what we have heard. Enhanced delivery of public health services by strengthening data collection from local hospital, clinic, health center, to from district, regional, and national levels. And the to and from is most important because what we hear over and over again is that the people on the ground in these settings are collecting data that they never see again. Therefore, they have no incentive to do anything to improve the quality of that data or even to collect it accurately. And one of my mantras is collect data once and use it many times. And it's something we often forget in the many, many siloed systems that we use, unfortunately, and also have helped create. Public health informatics, and this was one of the challenges during our week, which was one of 8 sessions in a 4-week period, really is about enhancing primary and secondary prevention via e-health records. Yes, we have a stake in e-health records for prevention. Improved laboratory systems, and then linkages at all level for population health decisions, and to support health workers at all levels, as well as the individuals themselves. These are what came through. These messages, these findings came through repeatedly from the various meetings that the Global Partners has sponsored. Enhancing environmental health interventions, water quality, sanitation, responding to floods before the floods happen, road safety studies. All of these things are relevant as we talk about health informatics, public health informatics, but they're very often lost in this conversation that often focuses on clinical medical records. And unfortunately, I'm seeing this repeated again in the United States. Unfortunately, much concern and conversation about e-medical records versus the public health aspects and the broader aspects around environmental health. Clearly, there are opportunities to improve communications and access for decision making, not just for health workers, but the public themselves. Funders are great, but they often fund single diseases, and that results in data silos, redundant information system, duplicative data entry. And so we have to have funders as part of the discussion. There were funders represented at the eHealth series that Rockefeller hosted, and they were there at our public health informatics session at Bellagio. Standardization, standardized vocabularies and taxonomies and interoperable software, these are all things we all know and believe. We need to promote sharing of success stories and collaborations across institutions and countries. And most importantly, and most often left out of the conversation, are the human resource development at all levels. And so as the Global Partners in Public Health Informatics was identified as talking about themes and actions on the international level, at our meeting in 2008 in Seattle and again in India, it was very clear that there was a place for a new organization, that we really were responding to a unique set of issues and circumstances and doing it in a way with a diverse set of partners, and I'll show the diverse set of partners at the end, who could really begin to make a difference and let individuals who want to do something actually see a way that they could do something at some level. So this was the eHealth Connection site for all of the weeks, and I will show the website address at the end of my presentation. The call to action from our Public Health Informatics Week was pretty simple, and you've already heard about one part of it with our first speaker, that an architecture is required for national health information system to guide countries in strengthening their own health system and for developers to provide effective tools to help them do it. This came out of a week, 28 or so of us sitting around a table, people representing many countries and many types of backgrounds. This was a key focus, the work of the Health Metrics Network. The second was that this is going to require new kinds of partnerships, public-private partnerships, and new relationships between centers and ministries of health, NGOs, foundations, the private sector, and other centers for public health informatics throughout the world. And this is the work of the Global Partners in Public Health Informatics. So one of the ideas that came out that is actually practical, doable, and already happening at some levels are the idea of regional centers of excellence in public health informatics. I think you all know that CDC created about 4 years ago a number of regional centers of excellence in public health informatics, five. The University of Washington is one of those regional centers. But what we were specifically looking at was a way that we might use the C's. I apologize for the crudeness of the slide. I wasn't able to do something about it at the last. I'm not the best creator of beautiful PowerPoint slides. Let me just leave it at that. But the C's are the universities in the U.S., in Europe, Japan, Australia, who are already creating, have these centers, and who are already working together with other institutions in resource-constrained countries. And if they're not, they would like to, or are thinking about it. The primary focal point of these regional centers is not these universities, these centers, or CDC or the World Health Organization. It really is. The primary focus point is the universities in resource-constrained countries across the world, in South America, in Eastern Europe, in the Pacific, in Asia, in Africa. The A's And what we see the universities as pulling together, and I'm going to give some examples of universities that are actually doing this in a minute. Expertise, infrastructure, curriculum, mentorship across their countries, research, training, technical support for the development of solutions that will scale, solutions that are sustainable, and bridging to governments. Universities and governments don't always get along well around health, and perhaps your country is an exception. But there is a competition for resource that occurs, and we really think that it's important that, and coming out of the workshop at Bellagio, that we engage with district health organizations, county health departments, as we do in the United States, ministries of health, the state health departments, the national health departments, and that this become a collaboration and not a competition for resources. So the primary focal point, universities, the satellites, the Bs, are the universities and colleges and technical institutes in countries who can recruit to the university the students for academic preparation in public health informatics, who can create curricula with the support of the universities to begin to build the IT force that is needed, that is knowledgeable about the context of health and the practice of health. And application of information systems in the practice of health and learning from those. So let me give you a couple of examples. I have been very fortunate over the past 10 years as a result of Dr. Kimball's work. We received a Fogarty International Center grant. Fogarty International Center is part of the National Institutes of Health to begin working with Cayetano Heredia University in Lima, Peru. It was founded in 1961. It was founded as a predominantly health sciences university with 8 schools now, and a very strong biomedical research focus, infectious disease focus. The program that grew out of this, a partnership between UPCH and the University of Washington called Amauta. Amauta is a Quechua Peruvian native language word for mentor or teacher, was a partnership across the university with strong support from the president and the vice rector for research of the university, the schools, the library, and with other Fogarty programs, because they have a number of Fogarty International Center biomedical research programs, and with other collaborators. San Marcos, another large university and even a much older university in Lima. Impacta, which is an NGO. Via Libre, another NGO. The Ministry of Health, National Institutes of Health of Peru, Harvard University, Vaxiva. These were all collaborators, continue to be collaborators as part of this. Vaxiva being an organization that also works in many other parts of the world. What developed from that first visit in about 1999 or 2000 is truly remarkable. I don't have the time to tell the whole story, but it is available. And my colleague, Walter Curioso, who created these slides and is a PhD student at the University of Washington now, we have other slides that and presentations that he has done that I'd be happy to share with you offline. But what I want to highlight is one particular outgrowth of this research and training, development of public health informatics courses, short courses, which UW and Cayetano has taught in Peru. They developed a program called NetLab, which is an open source program, which is not available in my home state. And in fact, we're taking a look at it to see if Washington State might benefit from something like it. Dr. Patty Garcia, who has led the development of informatics at Cayetano Heredia University, and was director of the National Institutes of Health of Peru, is an HIV/AIDS physician, and she felt very strongly that patients should have online instant access to their HIV status, the lab results, as quickly as their care provider did, and that that would make a difference in their care and in their monitoring of their health. To make a long story short, NetLab was created. It is proving very successful, including among very low-income Peruvians who do not have adequate shelter or other comforts of life. Because there's very inexpensive access to the internet, they are able to track their own health status through this program. And so this is just one example. They have worked across the country, and right now they are in competition for a grant from Fogarty to create a regional Andean network of public health informatics for training, very much the vision that I just described, to enable these improvements to benefit not only Peruvians living in reach of Cayetano University, but also across the country and across the Andean region. So turning to another part of the world, Macquarie University, which I have not had the good fortune to visit yet, is in Uganda. And one of the programs that I became aware of through one of my colleagues from Reagan Street, who was working in Uganda, was a national technical expertise center at Macquarie University. And it's a very interesting way that has been developed to support electronic health implementations across Uganda. And as I think most of you know, Reagan Streef Institute at Indiana University, which happens to be one of my alma mater, has done a lot of work in improving access to health information and developing e-health record systems, pioneering OpenMRS, which is one of the most one heavily used software product. But what the unique and they think sustainable aspect of this is that individual hospitals and clinics cannot afford to have the skilled staff. For one thing, they don't exist because there's a huge training problem. But secondly, it is very expensive to have the kinds of technical support staff, programmers, and others available. And so what they've been able to do is, with School of Computing and Information Technology at Macquarie, create a center that provides technical expertise in the areas described here. It is a very interesting approach, and one that I hope we'll see. There is a publication that Martin and his colleagues have submitted for publication to the Journal of the American Medical Informatics Association. I'm hoping it will be available soon, because there's some very interesting findings about exactly what we heard about this morning, that having these EHR implementations is actually having an effect on the practice of healthcare and practice of health and improving health outcomes, because they are very interested in demonstrating the impact on health. And so stay tuned for that report of that research and that article. Now, going to another part of the world, I've been very fortunate. I've been able to work in three different parts of the world. Partners at Mahidan University were funded by the Rockefeller Foundation to develop a center of excellence for biomedical and public health informatics. And they are partnering, they have subcontracted with the University of Washington to work with them on some training and developing some areas of expertise, in particular in support of the Mekong Basin region countries around public health informatics. So we have taught a short course there a year ago at Mahidan in partnership with our faculty colleagues there, and we'll be doing so again in February. And three of the individuals from the BioFix Center are here at Finn, I'm happy to report. So some of them, you may be seeing them. They will be at International Night on Wednesday night, to which you are all invited. Okay, our Center for Public Health Informatics is another example of a center that works at the local level, the regional level. We work in the Pacific Northwest region and across the U.S. in collaboration with other partners and across the world. And the last but not least, the Northwest Institute for Biohealth Informatics, Ian Buchan and his colleagues at Manchester University in England, is another example of a center doing the kinds of things that we are talking about, engaging not only locally on real health problems, but engaging internationally. And Ian, since that first meeting in 2006 in Manchester, has been very busy building a very strong research program, as well as working on partnering with others who would like to train in public health informatics from across the world. And I haven't caught up yet with him on all of those details, but he is here, and I'm sure would be happy to talk with you about the work of his center. And certainly a number of faculty from our Center for Public Health Informatics are here as well. We both are Northwest centers, Pacific Northwest and the Northwest of England. So next steps, and more importantly to me, what can you do with and in collaboration with the other global partners in public health informatics? We think one of the missing links, and we being this group of organizations and individuals, which I'll name in a minute, that one of the missing links is creating the capacity in country to build the public health informatics workforce. And that's not just academics. That is trained IT technicians who understand the challenges of working in health resource constrained environments. That is health professionals who understand how to use information systems and technologies. And by the way, Dave Ross's example this morning of the box, where you put the rocks to demonstrate which type of birth it was, to me, that is front and center what we are about. It is using information wisely, regardless of what format it is in. And so the universities have really been left out of this conversation, in the opinion of many of the planners of the Global Partners in Public Health Informatics. And we are going to be hosting, with some funding from the Rockefeller Foundation and partnerships with others, including people in this room who are on a planning committee, a discussion to be held in Nairobi later this fall on needs and approach and funding strategies. And I have recently begun working in Nairobi, in Kenya, and particularly with the University of Nairobi, and they are beginning the process of creating an academic program in health informatics and doing some other very interesting things. And so they are going to work with us on planning this workshop. It is going to have to be limited in terms of attendance, but we are going to create as many places as we can, particularly for East Africans, but also for Africans from throughout the continent. The Global Partners is going to continue to seek funding to build and or expand academic programs and grow the global network so that Peru can talk to Nairobi, can talk to Uganda. Uganda can talk to Manchester, England about things that they are working on, so that training can happen and exchanges of faculty can happen. One of the faculty from the University of Washington Center for Public Health, well, one of our colleagues from the Center for Public Health Informatics just spent some time on sabbatical at Manchester University with Ian and his colleagues. The University of Nairobi could very well exchange students and or faculty with Cayetano Heredia or with Mahidol University. We really see these kinds of collaborations. At the moment, there is no funding or very, very, very limited funding for these things to happen. Some of the exchanges have actually begun because of the Worldwide Universities Network, which is probably not an organization on the tips of anyone's tongue in this room. Has anyone else ever heard of the world, besides Ian? The Worldwide Universities, oh good. Excellent. You were from where?
I'm from the UAE.
Okay.
Yeah, I can.
Yes, we have. Our University of Washington was one of the charter members of the Worldwide Universities Network. It's a number of universities in the U.S., in England, and a few other parts of the world. It's an organization that enables collaborations in many areas, not just public health informatics. Just one more thing, and then I will stop and see if there are any questions. We're, as a global partners, contributing to relevant meetings, including this one, across the world. We hope to be a part of FIN 2010, and also the MedInfo meeting 2010, which is going to be in Cape Town, South Africa. There is a session at this meeting to talk about the MedInfo meeting, if you're interested. The Global Partners has a website, GPPHI, .org. The Center for Public Health Informatics at UW, the Northwest Institute, Health Metrics Network, Rockefeller, all of these slides will be available to you after this session. And last but not least, and I'm sure I've forgotten people and organizations on this slide, but who are the global partners? Well, they're all of you, all of us collectively. Many organizations have contributed funding, contributed people to think about how we strategically can make a difference. The earliest funders were, in particular, Rockefeller Foundation and Microsoft Research, plus a foundation that I'm not allowed to name, which provided significant funding for our first FI 2007 meeting. You can draw your own conclusions about which organization that might be. Health Metrics Network, RTI, which is funding the International Night Dinner. I think Gordon is here, Gordon Crossman from RTI, who's been a part of this process. So without further ado, since I'm standing between you and lunch, I'm gonna stop there, see if we have time for any questions. And if not, I will be here throughout the conference, including Wednesday night at the session, the international session. Thank you. Because I can't see it. Yes.
So I think we need to acknowledge that that the people who are involved in global health have a lot of objectives, both personal and institutional, that differ, that are not necessarily the same as the public, achieving public health in the countries where we work, financial, organizational, bureaucratic, travel, all that kind of stuff, okay? I mean, and I know that, you know, that success has many parents and failures an orphan, you know, but what can we do to tie our reputation and success and evaluation to the achievements in the places where we work?
That is a superb question, and I think that's what has motivated a motley group of people and not so motley group of organizations to persevere around the idea of the global partners, which is to cut to the bottom line and say, what's going to make a difference in this setting? And if it did make a difference, if you've demonstrated it made a difference, regardless of whether that clinic is in Uganda or South Africa or Peru or Laos, that you will share what happened and how you did it, most importantly, because the people who are making a difference don't have time to write articles. The people who write articles, for the most part, that's a generalization. I probably shouldn't be so vocal about the generalization, but I think it's true. The people, the people who have time to write about public health informatics solutions that worked are people who are probably several steps removed from what actually happened. The exception is the article I just mentioned that I can't wait for it to be published. In fact, I've written to the editor of Jamie and told Randy Miller to hurry up and get this article published. Really does tell from the grassroots level what happened and why it made a difference. So to me, it's people with a common agenda that is about improving health regardless of the setting and getting beyond the personal agendas, the organizational agendas, the complex organizations we're all part of, and just making a difference. And that's what I can say about the people in this room who have been a part of this process. That's what they're all about. So I don't know, does that help? I mean, we are the answer to the problem you described. Yes, Hamish. One of the partners.
One of the comments there, which I think I should follow on, that we didn't hear a lot about this morning was evaluation.
Yes.
And so I think you brought that up with this study, which is looking at the impact of medical reference systems in Africa. But I think that's something that obviously is dear to the heart of many people at CDC, but has really not happened enough. And there are one or two cases, for example, in Malawi, where the CDC has taken the lead in that. They are doing some work in Rwanda, for example, but it's still very much the early stages.
I agree absolutely and completely with you. And again, that goes back to who has the time to both think through the evaluation when the intervention is being created and then write about it later. We have to make it simpler to share those evaluation stories and methodologies. Alan, you had a comment.
Was you have to get a critical mass of talent together, you know, on site. Then you have to mentor them, you know, so that they have the tools that they need. Then you need to be able to provide them with the software and hardware tools that they need to continue. And then get out of their way, basically, or occasionally provide a little guidance. That's it. I mean, a lot of the operations are dependent on just one or two key people. Those people go, you know, then everything collapses. Or they have smart people, but they don't have the software and hardware tools to get the job done. I just, the other comment that I make is that 2 weeks after I left, Kenya now has an undersea fiber optic internet connection.
Yes, yes.
So that's going to change.
I was there when it fired up, actually. It was quite exciting, but unfortunately, it doesn't look like the prices are going to come down as rapidly as people had hoped. But It is an amazing breakthrough in having a sustainable connection. Yes?
Hi, I'm Sherry. I'm Sherry Tia Abner from AMIAP, the American Medical Informatics Association. And I wanted to get back to what you mentioned earlier and sort of sharing this evaluative data and lessons learned and the resource sharing and what type of venues or what type of convened meetings are established to help that facilitate those processes.
Yes.
I'm not sure what exists right now, but there does not seem to be very much. It seems to be happening at an organic level.
It does, and one of the problems that the FI meetings in Seattle attempted to do was to bring people who were working on the ground on these things from countries, who represented their countries, to the meetings. And we were very successful at attracting funding because of a number of sponsors, including the Health Metrics Network, including Microsoft Research, who helped fund people to travel to meetings. Because the right people are here at this meeting, but not all of the people who could be here to tell those stories and to be a part of a community learning process. We don't have that travel funding. We barely have travel funding to travel the people from our own health departments and from our centers and to come to AMIA, which is where I thought you were headed with this, the American Medical Informatics Association. Absolutely, if we can identify funding that will support people to come and talk about what they are doing, that is very much what I think excited people about the meetings that we have had in the past. And I think Cape Town, the MedInfo 2010, is another great opportunity to bring those people to the table, but they need help with funding. they are not on their own going to have that kind of funding. Yes. I hope it's a good unintended consequence, Pam.
Yeah, because the kind of investments in Peru and health informatics at Cayetano over the last number of years have been obviously resulting in some extraordinary things. And now, actually this week, thanks to CDC and Jumbo Kiswama, who's sitting over here, there are two professors from Cayetano working with the School of Public Health in Kigali. And doing training there, so you're seeing this wasn't facilitated through the network, but in fact there's a human to human network.
Absolutely.
People that are just developing and finally have a lot in common and a lot of interest to work together.
That's great. Thank you for sharing that.